We are in the middle of the new perek in Maseches Sota. We're at Daf Chaf Dal Ramad Aleph 24a. In the middle of the Mishnah, we're discussing different situations of women, if they have to drink, they can't drink, they lose their ksuv or not. So we're going on to other scenarios over here. We move on to the next case. Still in the Mishnah. Now here's two cases of machlokas over here. How about, and we're talking about, let's go back to the case, a woman's husband warns her. Okay? Warns her, they go to Yerushalayim, etc. They're preparing the water. Everything's ready to go, and some unexpected development happens. Meis ba'aleihem ad shalosh asu, if their husbands died before they drank the bitter waters. All right? The client's ready to give her a drink. And the husband, whatever, I guess was a little stressed, he gets a heart attack, he drops dead. Now the question is, now obviously, let's think for a minute. Does she have to drink anymore? Is there any purpose in her drinking? What's the whole reason we make her drink? We're not sure of her status. And why do we need to be sure of her status? So she can be permitted back to her husband. What husband? She's permitted back to what? To nothing. So now, it would seem reasonable that she shouldn't have to drink. Now what about the ksuva? Now what would have happened if she would have refused to drink? We said she doesn't get a ksuva, right? Now, if she's not able to drink, there's no reason to make her drink. There's no reason to decide if she's worthy to drink. So what happens over here? So it's a machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai says, noteless ksuva. She collects her ksuva, velo shosos, and she doesn't have to drink. Right? Look why. Look at the commentary says, the husband has to bring his wife to the temple for the sota test. It says, "Vehavi ha ish es ishto." The man shall bring his wife. If he's no longer alive, she doesn't drink the waters. That's for sure. Beis Shammai holds that although the woman can no longer prove her innocence by drinking the waters, she still will collect her ksuva. We'll have to wait for the next page. The Gemara will get into the logic of the arguments.
So she,
what? Yeah. But still, she doesn't drink it. She only drinks it because there's a husband involved over here. That's the point.
Well, I know. I agree with that. But I'm just saying that what it says up here, though, is that she's not drinking it because the man shall bring his wife.
Right. No, but it means she brings his wife, and there's a man in the picture. That's what it means. There's a man in the picture, right? If there's no man in the picture anymore, so I guess basically Shammai saying, the fact she can't drink, it's not her fault, so why should she lose her ksuva? Did you prove that she's not faithful? So therefore, and she'd be happy to drink, let's say, but no point in her drinking. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, disagrees. Ubeis Hillel Amrim, listen, oh shosos, either she drinks, olo notlus ksuva, or she doesn't get her ksuva. In other words, he says, if she doesn't drink, and she doesn't prove that she's innocent, she doesn't get her ksuva. Since she can't drink here, we don't have her drink, there's no way for her to prove her ksuva, therefore she does not get the ksuva. So then the next Amud will explain the logic of the machlokas. Okay? But that's, so far, machlokas, does she get a ksuva or not? So Beis Shammai says, you know what, even though she can't drink, she still gets a ksuva. Beis Hillel says, since she can't drink, she does not get the ksuva. We'll have to wait till later in the week to see the logic of the argument. Okay, next interesting scenario, the Mishnah. Still in the Mishnah. Now, we know if a woman is pregnant or nursing, married to a man, pregnant or nursing, then if her husband either dies or divorces her while she's pregnant or she's nursing, the halacha is she should not marry another man for quite a while. If she's nursing, she should wait until the child, and in those days they nursed the child full term, 2 years. She should not marry another man till the child has been nursed for 2 years. And if she's pregnant, same thing. She should not marry another man. That's the halacha. She doesn't marry another man until she gives birth to the baby and waits 2 years, and she marries another man. What if, in spite of that, she transgressed that, and while during the period of either being pregnant or nursing, she does marry another man, and on top of that, she becomes an Eisha Sota? Okay, you got the scenario? So what happens over there? Do they drink? Do they not drink? Do they collect suva? Do they not collect suva? Let's see what's going on over here. She was not supposed to marry this guy. So let's see. Muberes chavero, a pregnant ex-wife of one's fellow. All right. In other words, she was pregnant to somebody else, and now she's married to this guy. Umeinekes chavero, or she's nursing from a child with another guy, and she went and married another guy. All right, this is all what I explained, all the ways. Now, why is this law she can't get married? Let's look what it says. Otherwise, if she does get married, she runs the risk of a new pregnancy, which will spoil her milk. Number one, if she's nursing a child, you know, if she's married to another guy, you know, obviously the man's going to want to be with her, and that could spoil the milk for the child. That could endanger the child's life. I know you're going to ask, well, how about if you're married, then you can't be with your wife either. Well, that's a different story. But now to go and get married is a whole different issue. So anyway, you with me?
Yeah, it's nice.
In other words, it's not good. It's not good for the child. In other words,
it's not good for the child psychologically.
No, physically. Yeah. Physically. A woman, she would get pregnant again. She can't nurse the
child.
Again, there's differences. If you're marrying a new guy, you've got to be intimate with him to consummate the marriage. Then she can get pregnant. She's pregnant with her husband, you know. She doesn't have to, whatever. She's married to him already. It's different. But now if you're not, you know, don't bring in, it's like a chazaka. She's a chazaka nursing woman, not married. Don't bring a man into the story now, because you can see the problems. We're not going to say that if you're already married to the guy, not to have any relations with him, that for the rabbi is not going to go. But don't marry another guy. If you're not married, so don't marry another guy. Let's leave it the way it is. Anyway, she violated the prohibition, and they got married. Either she was pregnant or nursing. Okay, then she warned it, said, so now all this happened before the child's 2 years. So hence, this is another case of a sota married to a man to whom she's prohibited in any event. This is not biblical prohibition now. This is a rabbinic prohibition. It's for sure a valid kedushin. Not a question about it. Even some of the other cases were valid kedushins. So now the question is whether here too the law is she should not drink the bitter waters or not. Okay. Now look, Rashi says that the rabbinic decree applies to a divorced woman as well, and not only to a widow. In other words, regardless, it doesn't matter if her first husband died or divorced her, still a rabbinic decree. Okay, anyway, so she violated the rabbinic decree. Now she's married to the second guy in violation of the rabbinic decree. Now she was a sota. What happens? So it's a machlokas as well. First opinion says, lo shosos, lo not los ksuva. She doesn't drink, and therefore she doesn't get a ksuva, divre Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Meir. Why? Meir says, since she's forbidden to her husband in any event, she wasn't supposed to be married to this guy. So it was not a marriage that should have been. So we really don't want her to be back with her husband. Don't drink and go get divorced. And finished. In other words, since she should not have married him, what are we trying to do? Drink the waters to bring back the matrimonial harmony, the two lovebirds can be back together again, right? But if they shouldn't have been together to begin with, so we say, listen, she doesn't drink, just divorce her, and since you can't drink, you don't get your ksuva, and finished. Because they never were meant to be married. Now, here's a little different that you're going to say, well, this is different than the other cases. We talked about a Kohen marrying a widow. How is it different? Do you see how it possibly could be different, though? How is this a little bit different? Okay, that's one thing. But still, the rabbis say not, the rabbis say not. We don't take the rabbi's words lightly over here. If the rabbis say you're not supposed to be married, you're not supposed to get married. Finished. So that's not going to be your difference. But think for a minute. How long is she prohibited to this man? It's only a limited term. A Kohen to a widow, forever. It's not like he could, okay, after a little bit of time they could be married. You can never be, or coin godel to a widow, or a coin to divorcee. It's not like, okay, in a little while you can get back together again. It's forever you can't be married. That was the cases before and last week. But here she's marrying a guy that she's not forever prohibited to the guy. You know, if she would, you know, just be apart, so to speak, till the 2 years of nursing are up, then they can be back together again. So that's where it's a little bit different. So Rabbi Meir says, listen, since right now, today, they're not supposed to be together, we don't have her drink, we don't want them to be together, notwithstanding the lady they could be together, and therefore she doesn't get divorced, she doesn't get exuva. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, no, Yochel Hu, what's he able to do? Lahafrisha, he can separate from her, and then Ulachzir Lachizman, and take her back after a certain period of time. And therefore she's eligible to drink the water. Because he drinks the water now, we'll know that later she can go back to him. You follow?
If she doesn't die.
Right? Even though they should get divorced. They should get divorced to fulfill the rabbis, but they could get married later. If she drinks the water now, it says, good, fine, you drank the water, but still you shouldn't be married, because you're just before the 2 year limit. So therefore, she really is permitted to her husband, as it were, so she could drink the bitter waters, and therefore go drink the waters, and then we'll see what happens.
If she's pregnant, the baby dies.
That's not our problem. If a woman is pregnant and she's a sota, doesn't seem to make any difference over here. That's a good point you're raising. So far, none of our rishonim have discussed about the baby dying. It seems Yehuda didn't care too much that Tamar should die when he felt that she acted immorally. Interesting. Just because that's an interesting question you're raising. We'll have to look in other places. What happens if a pregnant lady does a veir that deserves the death penalty? What do we say? Do we wait till she gives birth to the kid and kill her or not? It's an interesting question. We'll have to, I'm sure that it's talked about somewhere. But right now it seems he's saying she drinks it. So therefore, so he says the woman should drink it. What'll that help? That later she'll be permitted to her husband. And now, if she doesn't want, then she'll drink it. And therefore, she should get a ksuva also. Now, so that's the second machlokas. Okay, Rabbi Meir holds no, that she's got to be divorced. And he says, must divorce her and may never take her back. We'll see. I guess that's a knas. I guess Rabbi Meir argues, he says, if you violated a rabbinic prohibition, you married her, you got to divorce her, and you can't marry her afterwards. We'll see, it's all later on in Gemara, we'll get into the discussion. Okay, next case. Here's an interesting case now. How about if a guy is married to an islandess? An islandess is an adult woman who has no signs of female maturity and is assumed of not having children. Learned this in the Rambam long ago. A woman, as she develops certain physical characteristics as she matures that shows us that she's now a mature woman, going from a young girl to a mature woman, and therefore she probably has the physical ability to have children. An island is a woman that does not develop this way, and there's all kinds of signs in terms of growing certain hairs, her voice, the development of her body. And initially, the word islandess comes from the word ayal, which is a ram, which is a male. So that's what a play on the word ayal. Ayal, instead of her being a she-goat, a she-ram, whatever, she's a male. As if she says she's growing like a ram. She has male characteristics. Anyway, a man is married to an islandess. So that's a whole other issue. Is a man not even allowed to marry an islandess? That's a whole discussion. But he did. So this is a woman who's not going to have children for him. That's the bottom line. So an islandess, or Zekena, an old woman. She's too old to have children now. You can imagine an 85-year-old woman decides to be a sota with another guy. Okay, anyway, that's the second case. And the third case, She'ena Ruyalele, or a woman who cannot give birth, who, let's say she was once able to conceive, but in those days they could take certain drugs that would make them not be able to conceive. They already had birth control long ago in the days of the Gemara. They knew what herbs and things to drink, and they mamish made them not able to bear children. So any one of these three women who now is a sota, and they're never really able to have children, okay, and the question, well, we'll see what other questions are, So now, lo notlas ksuva, they will not collect the ksuva, lo shoseis, and they don't drink either. That's the opinion of the time. Okay, so that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Now, what's going on over here? Well, there's a problem. A man is obliged biblically to have children. The Torah says, puravu, a man is obliged to have children. A woman's not obliged. She can if she wants to assist the husband. Now, here's the point. Consequently, one who has not yet fulfilled his obligation may not marry a woman who cannot give birth. So we're speaking in a case, well, simply, where the guy's marrying a woman that she's not going to be able to give him children. That's what's going on over here. That's what these three have in common. She's an islandess, or she's too old, or she's already made herself incapable of having children. So just like other women are forbidden to their husbands, so the same thing now, it's really he should not have married her, according to this opinion. We'll see, it's a machlokas here. Tanakamo, she shouldn't have, the man should not have married her. Now she becomes a sota. We don't give her the bitter waters to drink, and she doesn't get a ksuva. So he's comparing that to like the case before. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar is going to argue. Rabbi Elazar says, no. Yochal ho lisa isha cheres. He could stay married to this woman, because biblically he can marry another woman. There's nothing wrong with him being with this woman. This is the woman that he loves. And then to fulfill the mitzvah, peruvu, he can marry another woman. Biblically, this is before the cherem of Rav Meir, certain times in Gemara, there was no cherem of Rav Gei Gershon. There's no cherem yet. The cherem didn't happen until the year 1000. The days of the Gemara, a man could marry more than one wife. So what's the problem? Why is he prohibited to marry this woman? He can marry another woman and fulfill velifros, velirbos, bimeto, and be fruitful and multiply from her. So therefore, since the wife is not regarded as forbidden to her, she's a regular sota, and then she drinks. Now, what's the Tanakama's opinion, though? Rabbi Elazar seems to make a lot of sense. He could marry more than one woman. So the Tanakama, though, holds that since the husband is obligated to procreate, and he cannot do so with this woman, she's not considered an eligible wife for him. He holds, you don't marry such women. You can ask, who marries these women? Simple. Men who can't have children marry these women. That would be the simple solution. However, the Tanakama, or a man who has already fulfilled the mitzvah puravu. However, the Tanakama agrees that if he has fulfilled the obligation to procreate, or if he has already married a second wife who can bear children, this first wife is eligible to be married to him, and thus she may drink the waters. Okay, so it's not so. So we're talking about a case where he has not yet married a second woman. That's when there's a machlokas. If he's already married to a second woman, everybody agrees she drinks. But if she's only married to this woman, so right now this is not a good scenario. Rabbi Eliezer says, the Tano says you shouldn't drink. She shouldn't be married to her. Rabbi Eliezer says, what's the big problem? Just go marry another woman, and then it'll solve the problem. So that's the machlokas. Now, so we've discussed all the unusual scenarios. Now the Mishnah drops back to the obvious, which was never mentioned, but this is what's left. Vishar kol hanashim, and all other women, meaning to say, who don't have any of these issues. We listed a whole, from Thursday to today, we listed a whole unusual cases. What about a regular man, a regular woman, everything is normal? Well, we say a simple rule. Oh, shosos, either they drink the waters, or they don't get a ksuva. Period. That's a simple rule. Now, so the commentaries say this apparently means that any sota other than those listed above has the option of submitting to the test of the waters. Hence, she refuses to drink, she forfeits her ksuva. However, this cannot be the Mishnah's intent here, because it has already taught the law of a woman refuses to drink. We already learned before, if a woman says, I don't want to drink, she doesn't get a ksuva. So that once we already had this in previous Mishnayos, what do I need this clause to say? And all other women, either they drink or they don't get their ksuva. So what's it saying? This clause should therefore be interpreted as referring to a widow, a divorcee who remarried less than 3 months after her previous marriage ended. Moore's going to say this is the case we're talking about other women. Again, under rabbinic law, a woman is not allowed to get married within three months after the first marriage has finished. Because in case she's pregnant from the first marriage, we wouldn't know whose child she has. In this case, however, although the marriage is prohibited, the rabbis did not require the couple to divorce, but allowed them to remarry. That's what it means, all other women. The case of all other women, it can't be regular women, because we already know that. means all other women is any other little bit of a questionable marriage, they would drink or they lose their ksuva, and that's including this case, a case where a woman whose husband died or divorced, and the law is, rabbinically, you got to wait 3 months, and she refused to wait 3 months, she can still drink or not. The Mishnah teaches here that the wife is such in such a marriage is because they're eligible to the husband. Hence, if the wife becomes a sota, she's among those who may drink the waters. Even though you've not, in other words, we're saying like this, she got married, she doesn't know the rabbis would not require her to divorce. Right? They allowed them to remain married. Here's the thing, because you're affecting the other child. Whereas the rabbis say, if you're pregnant or you're nursing, you cannot marry another man. And if you do, the rabbis say you should get divorced. Now, they can't force you, but they say you should get divorced today. You're not listening to us. You're not listening to us. But here, it is and it's not. Why do they insist you should get divorced? Because you're hurting the child. Every minute you're married to this man, you're hurting the child. Here, why wouldn't you allow to marry? Because if you have a baby in 7 months, we won't know who the father is. Okay, so you're not hurting anyone per se, and you've already been with the man. So as time passes, the chances of problems happening are less. But there's no one else who's affected for sure. In other words, when there's a baby, you're vadai. You're certainly hurting this child. Stop it immediately. The fact that this one, she's nothing. She's not pressed on anything. Maybe if she gets a child within the first 7 months, within 7 months from the second marriage, we're not sure who the kid is. That's a doubtful situation to overcome up. So even though they're not supposed to get married, the rabbis would not force them to get divorced. So since they're not forced to get divorced, if she becomes a sota, then she's required to drink, and if she doesn't drink, she loses her ksuva.
So Rabbi, if then worried about the child, why in the previous example you weren't sure, so this question, the child's going to die, going to kill the child, why were the rabbis not worried about that?
They were. They said they should get divorced, but they're not listening to him.
They're not worried about the fetus.
No, the fetus.
They're not worried about
the fetus. When the woman was pregnant, Shelley's question was, the fetus is going to die.
If she drinks?
No. Yes, if she drinks, then yes.
Well,
your answer was, well, too bad. No, you think it's too bad. But too bad.
Well, she's sinful. She has to get killed. There's a big difference if you've done a sin that deserves the death penalty. It does, but it's not here in the world yet.
No.
But here, where you've delivered a baby, right, and there's a baby who's going to suffer from it directly, we're telling you, get divorced.
The answer is that she all went to spontaneous labor.
Okay, I don't know.
And now we got the head is here to the rumble, right? As soon as the head appears.
And it's like it's bored.
It's bored.
I don't think I'd have her drink if she was in spontaneous labor. I don't think
so.
Maybe she drinks afterwards. She drinks afterwards.
Spontaneous neither before,
so. Okay, let's go to the next case. Another case now. How about now if a woman is married to a Kohen? Regular woman, regular Kohen, married. Now she becomes a sota to her husband, and she has to drink the water. After she drinks the water, is she permitted back, and she doesn't die, is she permitted back to her husband who's a Kohen? So Aishas Kohen, the wife of a Kohen, Shaisa, she drinks the bitter waters like anybody else. Obviously, of course, the mincha will be a little different than the mincha. It'll be totally burnt, we said, in two separate stages, right? She drinks umuter slabala and is permitted to her husband. Now, later the Gemara is going to ask a simple question. Why did the Mishnah say this is an obvious halacha? I mean, what would you have thought otherwise? If she drank and everything's fine, so Gemara's going to ask, what's the chiddush? We'll see later. Isha Saris, what if a woman who's the wife is married to a sterile man? The man can't have any kids, and he marries this woman. So now here it's interesting. There's an important halacha to see over here. The sota procedure is ministered only to a woman who had cohabited with her husband before the alleged adultery. We're going to see that later. In other words, if you're married to a man and you didn't cohabit with him yet, the laws of sota don't apply because you haven't even been with your own husband yet. So what's our Mishnah speaking about in Aisha Saris? Our Mishnah must constantly refer to a husband who became sterile after the marriage. Because there's a problem, you see. You're not allowed to cohabit. A man who's sterile is prohibited to marry into the congregation of Israel. Okay? That's a Saris. It's not allowed. A sterile man is not permitted to... Because he can't have, so he has to marry people who can't have kids either, whatever, but he can't. So the whole question is, what's the case here? A woman who's married to a sterile man, she drinks the water. What's she being married to him to begin with? So therefore, we got to say that he became sterile after their marriage. Remember, they're married normally, and then he became sterile. Okay, so that's the case. So an Aisha Sari Shosa, she drinks, and we'll see the Gemara is going to also question this as well. What's the chiddush? Again, it seems obvious, but Gemara is going to discuss this. Okay, now the Mishnah says, "Al yedei kol arayis makanim." Is an interesting scenario. You can give a warning to anyone in terms of arayis. Remember, we said you're not allowed to cohabit with close relatives. So now, let's say the case like this: a man is married to a woman, and this woman is hanging around one of her close relatives, hanging around her brother. And the husband says, "I don't want you going into seclusion with your brother." So now we got a multiple issues over here. Number one, it's a problem. She's not allowed to be with her brother anyway. Forget about the fact she's a married man. There's a riot over here. So the husband warns his wife not to seclude herself with any man who's an erva to her. The warning is valid. Thus, if she subsequently secludes herself with that man, she becomes forbidden to him as a salt until she drinks the water. The Gemara again is going to say this seems obvious as well, right? But he's saying, Al yedei kol arayis machnin. In other words, a husband can issue a warning. The laws of salt apply to a woman who's secluded with someone who she's forbidden to be with. Okay? Chutz, except, min hakatan, except for a minor. Let's say the woman is with a six-year-old boy. I was like, "I don't want you being with this little boy." What? That doesn't make her a sota. Because what can they do? Right? Should she seclude herself with the boy, she remains spirits her husband does not drink the waters. Okay? We'll see what that's learned from. It says, v'shachav ishosav. She said, maybe a man slept with her. A katan is not considered a man. Okay. So that doesn't work. In other words, you can give warnings to a woman and make her a sota, let's say for close relatives you can, but if she's with a cotton, it doesn't work. And also, umish ain't a ish, and a man who's not a man. Now, who's that going to be? Well, we'll find out later who that's referring to. Now, one last case. What if a man is not capable of warning his wife, but the Bezdin sees she's fooling around, and could the Bezdin give her the warning in lieu of the husband giving her the warning? The Mishnah says, Ve'elu shebezim come, and here are the ones that the Bezdin would give the warning instead of the husband. There's certain circumstances where the Bezdin give her the warning, and all the laws apply, as if the husband did. And you'll see why the Bezdin has to step in. For example, if her husband, who was a normal husband, over time became a deaf mute, and he's not wise to what the wife is doing. So the Bezdin can give the warning in his place. Onishtat, or became deranged after they got married, they can give the warning. Or he's in jail, and she's lonely. So it's too bad you're lonely. You can't be with another man, and the Bezdin can warn her. Now, the question is, but how far does the warning work? Look what the Mishnah says. Lo lahashkosa, however, they didn't say that the court's warning is effective to make her drink. That far doesn't go, because the Torah says the man, it's just the man that does this. But they could warn her to the point to say, if you're going to go into seclusion, you're going to put us in a situation where we don't know what's going to be with you. We can't make you drink. Therefore, you got to get divorced and you're going to lose your ksuva. Whereas the best thing could get involved to the point to warn her. And now that if they catch her with two witnesses that she went into seclusion, when there's a husband, we could have her drink and get out of it. So the best thing could warn her to make it only negative for her and not for her to get out of it.
One witness.
What?
Still one witness.
No, no. Two witnesses have to see she goes into seclusion all the time for her to be a real sota. Just seclusion.
Two witnesses for the morning and one witness for the
seclusion. Okay, fine. Okay, notwithstanding that machlokas, I'm just saying they can make her a sota. That's the main point. Can they give her the warning as if the husband was there? They can, but only insofar to say she's a sota, but it will not work for her to drink and get out of it. So it comes out, what does that warning help? It only helps Ella Laposla Miksuva to help to make her lose her ksuva. Because now she's in question, she can't drink, so she's going to have to lose her ksuva. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi goes further, says, no, the Bezin can do everything. Afla Hashkosa, even to make her drink. They could do that, but what's the point of her drinking if the husband's in jail? Very simple. If the husband gets out of jail, right, then she's able to, that's why they give her to drink. So in other words, they could warn her, and she'll drink later when the husband gets out of jail, because till then it doesn't really matter. So it's not just for warning, it comes out for drinking as well. This will all be explained when we learn the Gemara. Okay, we finished.